Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Today is March the 3rd, and we are broadcasting live on the Healing Hour. I am your host, Elisha Cooper, and today I'm excited because I'm with Pastor Toy Daily. Listen, guys, feel free to tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom or via phone 319-527-6091. And as always, if you have any questions or comments anytime during the show, you can always press 1. Isaiah 55:8-9 in the NIV version says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Like I said, guys, I am so excited to have Pastor Toy Daily with me on tonight. Normally, she's on hold on the other end, and we're texting back and forth looking for who's next to talk and everything. But today, she took time out to talk with me, and I'm excited. Pastor Toy, how are you?
I am blessed. How are you doing?
I'm good. Exciting to have you on my first show back.
Yes, I'm excited to be here.
I really am excited to be here. Listen, I know we've been on like a sabbatical for a little bit, and I know the last show that we were supposed to do, I think I had some type of emergency and I could not be there. And I know we talked a few times about you coming on and just talking with me, but can you do something for me? Because while I'm a part of the network with you, I don't know a whole lot of what you did. So how about you bring me up to speed on how this whole thing became became your ministry?
That's a funny story. It really is a funny story. I got licensed. Well, no, I became ordained when I turned 33 years old. I got licensed when I was 30, and that was always special to me because at 30, you know, that's when Jesus started his ministry, and at 33, that's when he died on the cross for us. And I always felt like when I got ordained, that was a piece of me killing off myself for the call of Christ and the will of God on my life. And I started feeling this call about, you know, doing internet ministry. And at that time, podcasts and all of that wasn't brand new, but it was, you know, fairly new. And God would talk to me about it. I'd look up some stuff, and then I'd be like, "Nah, Toy, that ain't God. That's you. You and your head. You're trying to make a name for yourself, and you're trying to this, and you're trying to that." And that's how I would, you know, make it go away, or I would sort of get like Moses, where, you know, I stutter. I don't speak real clear, so. And no, you don't want me up on no airwaves doing what you're talking about. And that's how I sort of like kept brushing it off. Like every time he would put it in my spirit, I'd be like, "No, God, I can't do that." And I'd give him my reasons why. And I'd go on about my business. And a friend of mine that I went to school with, his name was Brother O. He had at that time a network called Beverly Nation, where he was doing different podcasts and things of that nature. And he had started asking me to come on as one of the hosts. And I started telling him the same thing I was telling God. I stutter. I can't do that. No, you know, I don't speak clear. I got too much Philly slang in my language, and that really ain't going nowhere. No matter how hard I try, I still refer to stuff as, you know, that John or over there or round corner, like, I, you know, water. Like, it's still there. That's not professional. That's not what God wanted. I kept giving him all these excuses, and one day he called when I was in the car with my daughter. My daughter Brianna, and he was on speakerphone, and he was like, listen, I really need you to come on and do this, and da-da-da-da-da, and I was giving him my normal rundown of excuses on why I couldn't, and my daughter looked at me and was like, Mom, not to ear hustle, but you could do that with your eyes closed.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to tell you, like you always tell us, at least try. You're not even willing to try, and it's an opportunity that God is opening up for you. Now, for you to understand why that particular statement coming from my daughter weighed so heavy, it's because my daughter is of the Islamic faith.
Oh, wow.
And I was sitting there looking at God going, oh, you deep. Like, you deep. So I said, okay, I'll try it out. And I was with them for about maybe 2 or 3 years. I don't remember exactly how long. And while I was there, I had become the chaplain of that network. And that's why some of the different hosts and some of the people you hear talk to me today refer to me as Chappie, because that was the position I held at that network. And God has started saying to me, it's time for you to do what I asked you to do about 10 years ago. And I was like, okay, God, but, you know, what I'm doing right now is cool, because, you know, you done fulfilled your word and the prophecy you made over my life. I still laugh at that. For those that don't know, the prophecy was that one day God was going to use me to send his word out to the nations. And when the prophet spoke that over my life, I laughed, not thinking that God couldn't do it. But anybody that know me knows I don't fly. So for him to use me to send his word out to the nations, he was going to have to figure out a way to get his nations to come to me, because I don't fly. And I look at us now doing what we do, and we're being listened to in China, in Russia, in Germany, in Morocco, in the United Arab Kingdoms, in Japan, in Austria, and, of course, throughout the United States. But what I'm saying is God was like, oh, give me something harder, because, yeah, I've brought the nations to you, and I'm still using you to get my word out to the nations. So I bless God for that. But as I was doing it with the network, you know, I sort of fell in love with the comfortability of my ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And God was saying, go, and I was like, for what? I'm comfortable right here, and I'm doing what you told me to do. So, you know, he had to make it difficult for me, since I wouldn't just do what he was telling me to do. And what happened was things had got to a point where I felt like I was being asked to compromise my walk with Christ to stay in my comfort level. And it got to the point where I set up one day, and before I knew it, I was like, you know what, I can't do this no more. I'm sorry, I'm gone. I resign. I'm not doing this no more. And when I said it, they were like, well, what about the people who follow your ministry? I said, oh, it's not a problem. We'll be back up and broadcasting come May 9th. I just can't do it with y'all no more. And I said it out my mouth, and I hung up, and I was like, okay, God, but you know I stutter. Now, I done said it out my mouth, and you made me say it with security, so you must go and work this thing out. If this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. But I can't do it by myself. I need a team of people. Now, someone from the other network, what they meant for evil God turns around for my good and for the good and purpose and will that he had put forth for the Birth of Purpose Kingdom Network. Because what that person did was they started calling different hosts, trying to run my name down through the mud. And they would get off the phone and the different host would call me. And they would say, hey, I heard you left. What you doing? And I said, well, the Lord told me to start Purpose Kingdom Network, and I'm going to start Purpose Kingdom Network as of May 9th. And they were like, okay, how can I come with you? And I was like, no, I'm not pulling nobody from anybody. I'm not taking anybody from anybody. And they was like, no, how can we come with you? I want to go minister for the Lord. I've always felt that need to go minister, but I couldn't do it there like that. And within 24 hours, we had a whole team of people together.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, God, here we go. And that's basically how this got birthed and started. Now we're at the point where, although I don't broadcast it a lot because we're still in the process of getting the final setup of everything together, but we now, as long as having the broadcast network, if you live in the Philadelphia area, you'll find that there's no real gospel stations like there used to be here in
right.
Philadelphia. So we started Purpose Kingdom Network, or PKN Radio. And PKN Radio, you can download that app right now currently, capital P, capital K, capital N, radio. You can download that in the Google App Store currently, and you can hear gospel music 24 hours a day. We have rebroadcasts of the different ministries that we do with Purpose Kingdom Network podcast. God has blessed us in that sense. We have the PKN YouTube channel that will be coming soon, where we will be uploading the different ministries from the podcast onto that, as well as if any of the ministers have services that they would like to share on that channel, they will have access to upload to the Purpose Kingdom Network channel. So God has really been blessing, and he's been blessing the most, because anyone who knows me knows that, you know, it costs to do what we're doing, and God has managed to continuously pay the cost for it, because people say, why don't you charge the host to come on, and why don't you do this, or why don't you do that? And I don't, because God has said there's enough people out there fleecing the flock.
Right.
So, like, if folk want to donate, they can donate. I don't stop that. That's between, you know, if God put it in your heart, bless God. Do I ask for donations? No. Do I charge anybody for anything? No, because the price was already paid. And I truly feel like, and for those that don't know how it was paid on Calvary by Jesus Christ. And I truly feel like if God wants this to go forth, he's going to continue to make a way that it goes forth. That's basically to catch us up to date to where we are now.
Now, you mentioned the story of Moses. Anybody who know me know I love the Old Testament. You want to get a real good conversation out of me, or you want to make me happy, start talking about the Old Testament. I am with you 100%. And that is actually one of my favorite. The book of Exodus is one of my favorite, especially when Moses was on the backside of the mountain and the Lord came and visited him and told him to take his shoes off because he's on holy ground.
Mm.
You know, we talk about that all the time. That he was in the burn, speaking through him through the bush. You know, the burning bush, as people like to preach a lot. Oh, God speaking to me through the burning bush. No, he was speaking to Moses through the burning bush.
Exactly.
But he
spoke
said,
to Moses through the burning bush, because that's how he used his spirit to get Moses' attention.
Attention,
he don't
have
to use a burning bush with us.
And the thing was, and I'm sure it would have caught my attention too, that the bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed. You know,
exactly.
It's not turning into ash. It's not doing any of those things. But Moses continued to say to God, you know, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a stammering tongue. Is the I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. Not realizing that he was already preparing Moses for it the whole time that he'd been on the backside of the mountain. You know,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the funny part of that is I grew up under the Primitive Progressive Baptist Association.
Ooh, bless you.
And now, don't take me wrong. I had fun. Like, our youth ministry, my youth years in the ministry, I bless God for all of them because it taught me a lot. But I grew up being told that women are not supposed to preach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't
believe to a progressive primitive church.
So you already know what I'm talking about. And it was so funny because I always used to, my grandfather, God rest his soul, but he used to get so frustrated with me sometimes because I'd be like, you know, this is an oxymoron. How you progressive and primitive at the same time?
Same
I'm just
time,
sort of asking.
I used to ask same question.
You know, but
how are you back? How are you primitive? How are you still stuck in the past? But you're progressive at the same time. You can't do both. You either going to progress or you're going to stay stuck.
Mhm. And what I realized was with them, it wasn't so much that women couldn't teach and preach. They couldn't do it behind the holy desk. They couldn't get up in the pulpit. They didn't feel
right,
as though they were supposed to have that position of it. So I grew up under this. I even got in trouble one time because I was asked to speak at a youth service, and the pastor of that church said, no, you didn't really bring a word. Come up here in the pulpit. You need to get used to this. And I was obedient to the leader of that house. And when my grandfather found out, oh, he lit into me about that thing. However, what I realized was while I was there, they were teaching me. Because there was some structure, some biblical truth that you got sitting up underneath their teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And because we could not preach, like, you know, they would say preach, but we could teach. We could teach Sunday school. If it was a woman's service, we could speak there. If they were having a special, like, 7-Up service or tag team, you're it type service, you could do that. But you had to do it from the floor, and it had to be more of a teaching. And because it had to be more of a teaching, it taught me to study more because I had to be prepared for any questions because, you know, with the teaching, people can ask questions. So it taught me and it prepared me, and it was funny because I never even thought of that backside of the mountain experience until you just brought it up just now. Where in even in all my excuses on why I couldn't, God was still preparing me to do that which he had predestined for me to do.
Well, just look at your first radio experience as your errand. That was your first route of speaking. You know, some people look at Moses when he went back to Aaron, and God said he would use Aaron as the vehicle to get it to the people. But it didn't stop God from speaking to Moses first.
Amen. And,
you know,
and I'm going to share this with you. I don't look at my first radio experience as Aaron. I'm going to tell you why. And what I do look at it as it as. I look at that experience there as Moses while he was being brought up in the palace.
I can see that. Okay.
You have to remember, with Moses, Moses, although he was born of an Israelite slave, He was born during a period where the Egyptians were killing all boys that were born.
Right.
So his mother put him in a basket, and the princess found him.
Pharaoh's daughter.
The Pharaoh's daughter. And she took him in and adopted him as her own child. So he grew up in luxury and comfort, not really having to do anything and commanding stuff and being pampered. And that's sort of the position I was in there. My errand, to be real honest, are the different hosts of the ministry of Purpose Kingdom Network.
I see how you put that. I see how you put it.
I wasn't
going that route, but I see how you put that.
But I know you weren't, but y'all are the ones that, although God may be speaking to me and giving me the vision, y'all are the ones speaking to the people and carrying it out.
I can see that. I can see that the way you were saying. I definitely can see that. But the dope thing is, Aaron, eventually you didn't hear too much of Moses said to Aaron. You started hearing Moses said to the people.
And I do come on every now and then.
Moses said to people, you know. It is
right
though,
now,
going back to the progressive primitive, though. Can we talk about that for a little bit?
Go ahead. Go back to
you. I went to a progressive primitive church for a little bit. And we were not allowed in the pulpit at all. For no reason can we go in the pulpit.
Not unless you were serving the preacher.
And
like
then,
you could go to put their robe on.
And even then, you might wait for him to come over to the side where to the side of the pulpit.
It wasn't the mic. You did. That was not a question.
You was not going on the main part of the pulpit. And I had a lot of opportunities to actually preach at the Progressive Primitive Church. The funny thing with me was I taught Sunday school and things like that, but he did allow me opportunity to preach. I had to preach from the floor.
Exactly.
I wasn't allowed to. Even if we did the seven last words or we did the tag team and different, like, and 9 times out of 10, I was one of the only females. So I might was started or close it. All of the guys would be in the pulpit. I would be on the floor. Now, one thing I could talk about, one time in particular, I think it was either 4 of us or 5 of us that preached. I was the only girl, and I think it was 4 guys. No, it was 3 guys. So it was 4 of us. I was the only girl with the 3 guys, and the guys could have sat in the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
But because I wasn't allowed to go in the pulpit, they all sat on the front row.
Mm-hmm.
And they went up to the pulpit to preach, and then they came back down and sat on the front row. And I felt a sense of respect during that time because it was like, well, if you can't do it, we're not going to do it either.
Mm-hmm.
And that was rare. That was very rare.
Yeah.
But it taught me a lot of structure. I didn't start out in the Progressive Primitive Church. I started out in Holiness Church. Don't ask me how I went from one extreme to the other. You know, I was in the Holiness Church, and it was like spirit, 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 but it wasn't a whole lot of structure.
Mm-hmm.
Where the other church was structure, 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 structure. So I learned both sides of the coin. I learned both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Where I learned the spirit side and I learned the structure side. So it kind of helped in certain situations or certain places because of the fact that I was able to learn both sides. But, yeah, it used to be funny to me because it was like, you know, I would never be able to be called minister. I was always sister.
Mm-hmm.
Even after I got my license, I was sister.
Sister or mother?
Sometimes they'll call you evangelist, depending on where you came from. They might say it to you, but most of the time you were sister. But, yeah, like, I know the feeling now. I didn't get the experience what you were talking about, like, you know, you would teach and they would ask questions. I didn't really get that unless I was teaching Sunday school. But
well,
if the pastor, you know.
You got to understand, then it was like teaching Sunday school, teaching Bible study. You could teach in those settings and arenas that it was like almost like a classroom type setting or a lecture hall type setting. So it was that back and forth. And then, like, you have to understand, when I was growing up in the church, it was a lot of my family. I mean, it was a lot of other families, but it was a my grandfather was the pastor. Like, so when I say they didn't let you just say anything without, okay, where that come from? Where you coming from with that? Well, explain to me how you see that again or understand that again. You know what I'm saying? Or, well, why was Moses saying he couldn't do it? And you had to be able to answer that question if you were standing up front teaching. You had to be able to say, because Moses was looking at it through his own eyes instead of listening to how God saw it through his eyes. And that's a problem that we have a lot today. But back then, yeah, we couldn't do a lot of those things, but the little that they did allow us to do because of the structure and what they did, it prepared us for who we are today.
I agree.
And it's funny because we used to have our union meetings and stuff, and it was one church at 22nd and Clearfield, and the youth, we'd all be up there at the union meeting, but in between service, sometimes the church at the corner, which was a holiness church,
Christian Tabernacle.
Jumping. Oh, we would jump right over there.
Was it Christian Tabernacle then or Jones Memorial?
I have no clue what the name of the church was. All we knew was somebody would run up and be like, yo, they jamming at the corner. What? Who?
Mm-hmm.
We run in the sanctuary, grab our tambourines, and say, we're going to the store and go down the street.
I think it was Jones Memorial then, right at the corner, the big church on the corner.
We would go down the street and have church for about 30 minutes and then run up the street. And they'd be trying to figure out why we was on fire like that. Because we would come out of that spot on fire. Because, like, we just came from under the Holy Spirit, and then now we're going into another sanctuary where the Holy Spirit is fitting to fall as they start worship.
Mm-hmm.
But they got to catch up to where we are, because we done had a pre-party when we said we going to the store. Dang, I think I just told on a lot of us just now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we're the ages we are, because I just snitched on me and about 40 other children. Well, they're not children now, but...
It's all right. It's all right.
But
yep, but I am very familiar with both churches, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was about to ask you something. You said that the prophecy was given to you that you would minister to the nations. And I found I found it funny how you said it, because you said, I don't get on planes. So
I don't fly.
You have to bring, you have to bring the nations to me. If you want me to go international, then I need you to figure out a way to do that. I ain't leaving the States. When you started your radio, the blog talk radio, Purpose Kingdom Network, when you started it, and you started to see that you were catching the attention or of other nations, how did you feel? What came to you during those times?
It a mixture of things. First, I laughed, and I mean, I laughed from a good, hearty place the first time I saw it because it was funny to me. It was funny to me because that's why I said, you know, God was like, give me something hard. Because I was like, wow, you figured out how to bring the nation to me. You's a bad boy. Like, you know, so I laughed. But I was also very humbled because when I see me as Moses saw himself. I see me flawed. I see me still fighting and praying for God to deliver me from something. I see me as unworthy of doing what God would have me do. That's how I see me. What I had to realize was that how I see me and how God sees me is two totally different things. I had to realize and learn that when God sees me, one, he doesn't see me, he sees the blood. And the blood speaks. And he don't see my blood. He sees the blood that was shed for me. He sees that blood. So it was a very humbling experience for me. And then I still today go by the statement of, I don't care if it's one person on when you actually broadcast. That's the
right
soul God had assigned to you for that night. Whether it's one soul here in America or if it's tens of thousands of souls in different places across the world, minister as you're speaking to the tens of thousands, even if it's just one.
Hello.
I'm here.
Okay.
So from that place, that's just how we've grown. But as I said, for me, it's a very humbling experience. However, I still look at it as God and myself as our personal joke. Like, because like I said, when the prophecy was given, and I giggled, the prophetess asked me, she said, well, why are you laughing? You don't think God can do it? And my exact words were, if that's what he's going to do, bless God. But he's going to have to figure out how to bring the nations to me because I don't fly. And for those that sit near going, oh, she don't fly, she not trusting God, that's not it. When I was a little girl, that's when they started coming out with all those plane crash movies. And you know how stuff gets set into your spirit at a young formative age? So, no, I wrote now, am I saying that I will never fly? That's not what I said. What I said is me in the normal, I don't fly.
Well, that part's understandable. It's funny, you said that God said something and you laughed. It reminded me of Sarah, or Sarai at the time, when she heard that she was going to have Isaac. She was in the tent and she left. And she was trying to figure out in that moment of her life, how is that going to happen? Like, it has to be God in order for you to do something that you know is impossible for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to be the one to as some people say, find a way to get it done because it ain't no way I'm going to do it. You know,
exactly.
I think me and you laughed about this once before because I said to you, I talked to you about there was a minister to me one time that I was going to be known, my name was going to be known internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay, that's nice. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I don't know how that's going to happen.
Right.
I'm just like, okay. Well, I guess, you know, I might not be known, but my name somewhere is somebody's, you know, other country due to the fact that I've been on Purpose Kingdom Network. So you never know how God's going to do the thing that he said he's going to do. You know, and that just shows us, your testimony literally just shows us how God can say to us that we're going to do something, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to do it the way that we think it. And it goes back to the scripture, your thoughts are not my thoughts and your ways are not, are not my ways. People probably heard that. The first thing they probably said was like, oh, she's going to travel.
Mm-hmm. Because
but
that's what I thought. But he didn't say he was going to take me to the nations. He said he was going to use me to take his word to the nations. And that's the different piece of it. We hear what God says, and then we try to figure out how he's going to do what he said he was going to do through our finite mind. Like, we have to remember, we only use a portion of our brain. The rest of it is there, sort of untapped into. But God is infinite. Like you said, his ways are not our ways. So how he's going to do something, it's mind-boggling. We can't think how he thinks. And the funniest part is he'll do not only exactly what he said he was going to do, but he'll do it in a way that's going to make you go, no, you didn't. And not in the way of disrespect, but in just the way of amazement. Like, when we think about time, I don't know how many people have studied the theology of the start of time, but we were taught that when God created the time belt, he didn't roll it out in front of him. He didn't toss it behind him, but he rolled it out next to him, in and out of it as he chooses and pleases. That was what he chose to do. And in doing that, we say that he is omnipotent and, omnipresent. That's the word I wanted to use, which means he's in all places at all times, fulfilling all spaces in the time continuum, past, present, and future. And that used to always blow my mind because I could not see it. You know, I'm sort of a visual learner. I got to be able to see what you're telling me. I got to be able to see it, visualize it. And I was never able to really visualize it until we started doing Blog Talk. Then I was going straight on faith. I could not visualize it to comprehend or understand it. But when we started doing this and I started noticing the different nations that were listening, all of these different nations, we're in different time zones. So even here in the United States, we're in different time zones. Like, we broadcast live at 9 p.m., but it's actually 4 p.m. of the same day in California. They haven't gotten to 9 p.m. yet.
Right.
But overseas, in some of the places where they're listening to us right now, it's whatever time it is in the morning of the next day. Today is the third. They're in their fourth already. So we're being listened to as we're broadcasting it in the present, for those people in California or the West Coast, going towards the West Coast as the time zones change, they're listening to us in the past. And for those that are on overseas, they're listening to us in the future.
In the future. That's so decent.
So it's like when we think about what God can do and will do, you can't do nothing but laugh sometimes just out of amazement. He awesome like that.
That's decent, though. Yeah, I know. I just showed my age, right? when you think about it, though, the like you just said, the times, you know, you never look at things like that and how we're God is doing things with each one of us, but he's doing things at the same time, yet at different times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you think about that, and think about how, you know, he's showing his love at the same time, yet at different times. He's showing his grace at the same time, yet at different times. Because we're in our natural selves, we're all in different time zones.
Mm-hmm.
But in our spiritual selves, we're all getting it at the same time.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, so
like the scripture tells us that when we pray in the name of Jesus and we ask that it shall be given unto us. And I had someone ask me one time, well, I've been praying for God to heal me and I'm not healed yet. So how is that true? And I said, God released your healing when you prayed for it. Problem is, you now have to catch up to where your healing is that he released.
Right.
Somebody, what you mean by that? If you ever look at anything God did in the scripture concerning Christ, and everything concerning Christ is concerning us. He would always say, in the fullness of time, did Christ, or they call them epiphanies, did he show up at different times throughout the Old Testament? Yes, but he didn't show up as the Messiah, the Christ, until it was the fullness of time. Your healing, your deliverance, your breakthrough has been released. You just got to catch up with it and believe God that is there. Because as soon as you believe God that is there, and this is the part what I mean when I say catch up with it. I don't mean like it's 20 years from now. It's five. You got to get to the point that you believe it's right there. And then reach for it, grab it, take it in. It's right there. It's for you.
Some of us have to remember that when we're praying for healing, we might not necessarily get healing on this side of the grave.
I was getting ready to say that. There's two ways that healing is released. Either the sickness, disease, whatever that is taken from the person, or the person is taken from the sickness or disease.
Yep.
We have to understand that. It's a bitter pill to swallow because, and I just heard it in my spiritual ear. Somebody said, well, if he takes the person from the sickness or disease, that means the person died, then that's not a healing. Well, yes, it is, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord if you were saved, if you are saved. Somebody going to get mad at me, but I always, you know, I'm going to say it because this God's word, I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. If you are saved, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, if you're praying for healing and that person ain't saved, you might want to start praying for God to save them before you praying for the healing part. Because there ain't but two ways he heals.
That is true. While you're right there, would you like to do the call of salvation?
Okay. As I said, it's not but two ways that he heals. And here's the beauty of it. He has offered us a way and the opportunity to begin to walk in that healing even now. The word of God teaches us that God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, some of us out there, we have been bombarded with society's thinking and teachings and ways. And we feel like, oh, God don't need a sidekick. And you're right, he doesn't. And we feel like God doesn't need help. And you're right, he doesn't. However, we do need help. God's creation, we needed help. And because God is so just, so holy, remember, we could not come before him. We had to have a high priest. And even then, if the high priest did not properly cleanse himself, if he walked into the Holy of Holies, into where the Shekinah glory, the presence of God resided, he would die. He had a rope tied around him so that when he embells on his skirt and the people outside the holies of holies, as long as they heard them bells, they knew he was still alive. But when the bell stopped, they wait a little bit and then they begin to pull him out. Because if he went in there incorrectly, he would die. Because of how holy God is. And that was just his Shekinah presence. Remember, when the children of Israel wanted to speak to him with Moses, and he just stepped down onto the mountain, it rumbled so much that the folk got scared and was like, no, nah, Moses, you talk to him. We don't believe whatever you say. We know we not holy enough, righteous enough, or good enough to go before that. And because of that, God loved us so much that what he did was he put himself into a woman. People go, well, how did God do that? I mean, if God was Jesus in the flesh, then who was Jesus praying to? The word of God says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and that all things was created through God. That's in John chapter 1, verse 1, and I'm paraphrasing it. If you want the exact reading, go to John chapter 1, verse 1, and you can read it correctly. And if you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the second verse says, and the Spirit of God hovered amongst the waters of the earth, and the earth was void and without form. And then the next thing it says that made things happen, it said, God said. Every time God spoke, what he spoke took place. Every time he spoke, you saw Jesus. Because he said he put the word, his power. It, the, John chapter 1:14 says the word became flesh. He put his power in the womb of a virgin. And after he did that, he looked down when Jesus was in the Jordan River with John, and he said, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. He took on the form of man, not because he needed help, but because we needed help to come before him. Hallelujah, God. And to get a better understanding of why we need Jesus Christ, there was a time in God and Moses' conversations with one another that Moses said, yo, and I'm summarizing this. If you want to know what happened, the whole story, go to the book of Exodus. I'm going to summarize it right here. But Moses basically said, yo, man, we talk all the time up here, but I have yet to see you. I want to see your face. God said, no man can see my face and live. He said, but what I'm going to do is I got a cleft right there in the rocks on the side of the mountain. I got a cleft right there. And if you go into that cleft, you'll be able to see my hind part as I pass by you. Jesus is our cleft that allows us now to go into the presence of God. Hallelujah. It allows us to become not just able to go into his presence, but it saves us. It begins to transform us. It begins to make us new. If you will only believe, he's right there waiting for you to believe. And what I love about it is his word says, whosoever. I love the whosoever clause in his word, because whosoever covers everything. Whosoever covers, he doesn't care if you're adulterer at A or a zealot at Z and everything in between. And yes, folk won't get mad, but he saves murderers. He saves rapists. He saves thieves. He saves liars. He saves everything. If you go to Jesus, not only can he save you, but he can transform you and make you new. How do I know? Because he did it for me. Just because I grew up in the church doesn't mean the church was always in me. And this is your opportunity tonight, no matter who you are, where you're listening around the world, God is calling out to you this evening. He doesn't care about the 40 on your table, the wine glass. He doesn't care about who might be upstairs waiting for you. He doesn't care about the blunt you got lit up about to puff on, or what you're about to shoot in your veins or swallow down your throat. He doesn't care about none of it. He said, come to me just as you are. You can come to him right now. And I promise you that if you come to him with a sincere heart, truly trusting and believing on him and in his word, that he is the Son of God and that he came for the salvation of this world, and that includes you, then you can be saved. And there's a simple prayer that we say. You don't have to say these exact words. Basically, you just acknowledge first that you're talking to God the Father. And then you acknowledge that, you know what, I am a mess. I've messed up a lot of stuff in my life. The Word of God calls it a sinner. And yes, I need to be fixed. I need to be saved. I need a fresh start. And I'm asking to have it with the gift you gave, which is his son Jesus. Now, you could have said it along those lines. If you did, seal it with the amen. Or you can repeat after me and just say, Father God, I come to you this evening confessing that I am a sinner. I thank you for the gift that you gave of your son, Jesus Christ. I ask him to come into my heart. I ask him to begin to make me new. I ask him to forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, have you said that prayer? If you said it, according to God's word, just say it. Now, you just tell somebody. You just let somebody know that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. We then encourage you to find the Bible Believing Teaching Preaching Sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until then, bless God. That's why Purpose Kingdom Network is here for you. Elder Leisha Cooper, before I hand it back over to you, we're going to bring on Brother Rob, if that's okay, so that he can give us any announcements, let us know if we have any callers. Brother Rob?
Yes, yes, thanks so much. All right, real quick, I'm going to go ahead and do the announcements. This is a Pride of Purpose Kingdom Network, and we'd like to thank each and every one of you for listening to us, whether you're listening to us via phone or online. And this has been episode 1567, and this show is the Healing Hour. And the host for tonight's show was Elder Elijah Cooper. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Purpose Kingdom, where you can go ahead and follow us and see our advertisements for our upcoming shows, and you can see what's going on and what's new. And speaking of what's new, we're also on Radio Co. And we also do have our radio network, Purpose Kingdom Network, at purposekingdom.com, where you just can hear music and you can hear some rebroadcasts of shows like the ones we had tonight. So briefly, we're going to have a break, and our next broadcast is going to be Sunday evening at 8 p.m., and it's going to be A Little Talk with Jesus, and it's going to be hosted by Evangelist Trina Lindsay Harrison. Please don't forget to share with your friends, and as always, just like us and check out some of our social media pages and also our website. All right, and with that being said, that's going to be the end of the announcement, and I'm going to hand it over to Elder Cooper and Pastor Toy.
Pastor Toy, thank you again for talking with me on today. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on and conversating with you.
Sometimes it's good just to have a conversation without it being so politically correct, you know?
Right.
But being able to just have fun, because there might be somebody who's new to Purpose Kingdom Network and don't know how it came about. So we definitely thank God for you.
I was going to just say I bless God for not just you, but for all of the hosts here at Purpose Kingdom Network, because as I said, y'all are my errand. y'all really are. I truthfully would love to be totally behind the scene with different ministries coming on every single night. Right now, I come on, like I said, once a month on the third Sunday of the month. And I just bless God, like I said, for it. I just got a text. We have a caller on the line.
Oh, okay.
Caller, are you there?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Okay, then. I was how you were really going in right in the Old Testament, just talking about foundation and from Moses and taking it on to the New Testament about the oneness. I was just, you know, it was just in awe. I was just in awe of you just the way you were explaining and everything. My name is Evangelist Devon Frazier. I'm from Philadelphia. And,
I knew this voice sounded familiar. I knew that voice.
Yeah.
I was about to say, wait, I know this voice.
Yes, I was. I truly enjoyed, you know, the podcast today. It was very, very good, very encouraging. And just as you were talking about, just the faith aspect of being in the healing of the mind. So many just think it's going to be dropped down and they don't have to do any work in order to get it. But in order to obtain faith, you have to go through something, because even the children of Israel, they were doubters even when they escaped. They didn't believe, oh, you brought us through this Red Sea and everything, and we got to turn back now. We got to go back to what we're used to doing. That God never intended for Israel to have a king, but because all the other nations were having kings, why don't you give that to them? And he gave it to them. You know, there are certain things that, you know, we're not supposed to go through that we allow this flesh to take us through.
Correct.
So if we would just be obedient and to what he's telling us and what he's saying to us. And interpretation is so very, very important.
Yeah.
Because so many, just like you were talking about, they said that you were going to reach the nations. Nobody said that you had to get on the plane in order to reach the nations. But if it is so, if you're in that obedient stance, that then you'll take that. But he hasn't told you to do that. But you're reaching the nations through this process. So I truly enjoyed everything that was said on tonight.
Thank you so much. And you know what, when you spoke on faith, I'm going to be honest, we grow in our faith. Although the word of God says if you have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. Now, first of all, I want you to understand, he didn't even say a whole mustard seed. He said a grain of a mustard seed.
Yes, he did.
But that doesn't mean it's supposed to stay at that grain size.
Mm.
The mustard seed has to be planted to be given a chance to grow. And if you plant the mustard seed, what I love about a mustard seed is if you plant one single mustard seed in a valley, by that next year when the mustard seed is scheduled to come up and bloom, you will have a whole field of mustard seeds from that one mustard seed that you planted in the valley.
Mm.
And that's how God works with us. If we just plant that one mustard seed, by the next thing to come up, you sitting there and you like, you. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not saying you're not going to have that moment where you go, all right, God, come on, what are we going to do? But you know he's going to do something.
Yeah.
Because you got that valley. Now, the funny part is, I'm going to tell you how it became real for me. And I think I've shared this once before on the network. My youngest grandson, this was about 2 years ago. And this is when, with everything I've seen God do, and I've seen God take people up off their deathbeds, with everything I've seen God do, I still needed to grow more in my faith. And my grandson at this time was 4 years old, and it was the first time, because he was at school and they were talking about Christmas and all of that. It was the first time that he was really excited about a Christmas. And he was so excited that the poor baby could not fall asleep. He was just and it's like 12 o'clock at night, and he is laying next to me in the bed, and he is literally bouncing off the wall. And I said, grandson, what is wrong with you this evening? And he said, Gainty, I don't know what is supposed to happen tonight. I don't know when it's going to happen tonight. I don't know how it's going to happen tonight. All I know is something is going to happen tonight. And when he said that, I was like, oh, that is so cute. But, you know, it don't happen until you fall asleep. And that's how I got him to go to sleep. And as I was downstairs setting up his little Christmas gift so he could find them in the morning, God began to speak to me. He said, did you see your grandson? I said, yes, I did. That was just so beautiful. He said, that's how believers are supposed to be. I was like, excuse me? He said, you don't know how I'm going to do it. You don't know when I'm going to do it. You don't know where I'm going to do it. But you should be expecting me to do it every single second of the day. Every single second of the day, I'm expecting God to do something. And I ain't talking about no little thing. I'm expecting God to do something miraculous. And it don't have to be with me. I just want to be able to see it. And because I'm expecting it and believing God for it, I get to see it a lot.
Yeah.
That's how we got to be. We got to get to that point where we just expect God to show up and show out, because every time he shows up, he shows out. So,
My God. Beautiful.
But thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right, Mother, thank you for calling in. We appreciate you. Y'all know not to start nothing. It's 10:06. And y'all preaching.
Oh, yeah, we got to get off of here.
Y'all preaching. Y'all hear? Another thing about the mustard seed is it actually grows to be one of the largest trees.
You see, I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
You see, you getting ready to get something else started, because that's a whole... another situation.
Well, we're going to talk about that on another podcast.
Amen.
We're going to talk about that on another podcast. Listen, Mother, since you're on the phone, you want to pray for the people?
Oh, sure. Hey, you know, hey. Thank you just for this opportunity to come before you once again. We thank you for each and every one that's under the sound of my voice. We ask, Father, that those that have made the step towards you, those that have decided to make you first in their lives, those that have taken on the responsibility of being the first person in their household to accept you, Father. We ask that you would build a hedge of protection round about them and allow them to walk into a place where they will be able to gain the knowledge of your word and open up wisdom, Father, from each and every page of the word, Father. Open up and give them a zeal to want to even learn more about you. We thank you, Father, for the swift running that you have put in our feet. We thank you, Father, for each and every assignment that you have placed into our hands. Father, we ask that you would look upon these elders that are in charge of this podcast, Father. And I ask, Father, that you would multiply and allow doors to continue to open, that they would be able to carry your word and your truth to those that might not ordinarily walk into a sanctuary, might not be able, Father, to get out, Father, but it's this word that's on this podcast that may change their minds of depression, may change their minds of doing evil and wicked things, Father, no matter what their circumstance, Father, that they see in front of them, let them know that it's not too late because there's still life. As long as there's life, you still have a chance. And we thank you, Father, for each and everything that you have done in our lives. We ask, Father, that you continue to order our steps, Father. Continue, Father, to anoint us afresh in your holy and righteous name. In Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Again, we want to thank everybody for listening. We are on the Healing Hour, and I am your host, Elder Elisha Cooper. Until next time, blessings and favors be upon you. Peace.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.